Hello, Domino's Pizza. Oh wait, this isn't a pizza delivery service. It's a gangster delivery service. This is MPM. My name is Matt Hudson, and I'm joined by the Northern Hunk. And how you doing, mate?
I'm all right, you little gangster. How you doing?
Guess me, the Southern G, Northern Hunk, and the Southern G. What's occurring up there? What's happening?
Not much, man. Work's very busy. I'm now off work for a little bit over a week, which is sound because I'm gonna chill out and watch a bunch of films and play some games and shit. Probably mostly of the horror genre, given what time of year it is.
Yep.
But that's not really anything different, is it? I think I was listening back earlier to our episode that we literally did this time last year.
Yeah,
and it was more for a reason of, but we'll get into it in a bit. But yeah, it's weird listening to us a year ago. It just sounded a lot different.
No, a bit. It's weird. Yeah. We had notes and structure then. Now it's just
notes and structure, and I sound a lot more like excited in a bad way. I'm on the edge of every word. I'm like just so excited, and I don't mean that. I'm not less into it now. I'm just more relaxed now. Mm. I was like
wired.
I don't know. I was like, what's the word to describe it? I was sort of agitated before. I was just like, yeah, and this bit, and like.
Whereas now
just
it's just
settled down now.
You know, you're just in there, in the river, just letting it take you along, mate. So last week I think last week you had the lurgy. I've got it this week, but we said off air. Whereas Ant was, you know, literally on death's door. I'm just a bit unwell.
Matt's more of a beast than I am, so he's sorted it out.
If I had what Ant had, I'd be dead now. This would be like whatever that thing is in the newspaper, obituary. This would be my obituary episode. I would die. But, so yeah, I apologize in advance if you hear me coughing or anything in the background. But MPM, no professional isms here. But well, let's get on with some Dune talk, mate. Because I saw it last week, and I said that I thought it was damn good. You've got your illness pissed off, and you've managed to sort of watch a deluge of stuff since then. But Dune, mate, that's just what I've been waiting to speak to you about, because I do know what you think about it, but I haven't. But we've kind of, for one way or another, saved all of your thoughts for now. So, mate, Dune.
It's the return of mental, nerdy as fuck sci-fi, isn't it?
Yes!
I think it is the best thing I've seen this year.
Yes!
I want to watch it again. It's not to sort of reaffirm that. I just want to watch it again. And I think it's even more exciting now, obviously, with the news from today that there's been a sequel, like, confirmed now. And it's one of those things where we've said a lot of times on here, haven't we, mate, that me and you are big old lore fiends.
Geeks,
like.
Yep.
And this sort of film is just like begging to be sort of explored more, isn't it? And I was tempted to just like go, right, fuck it, let's just read all the Dune books then. Put Lovecraft and Junji Ito away for a while, and let's just read some Frank Herb.
Did you come out of the cinema and think, right, I've got a Wikipedia Dune now and find out about the world and the characters?
I wanted to do it all, mate. I wanted to read the books. I wanted to watch all the YouTube videos of the lore videos.
Yes.
I'm sure there's going to be new ones resurfacing now. And old stuff resurfacing of like videos like, did you know this about this fucking Baron of this thing and blah, blah, blah. And like, it's just like a new world to me. I'm not going to stand here and pretend just because this has come out I'm like this massive Dune fan. I've never read the book.
Same.
I've seen Lynch's film, but I'm not really that asked about that one, and neither was he, and neither are most people. It's got a little cult following, hasn't it? And maybe go back and watch that now. It might be something a bit like quaint, and it might be sort of fun in a different way, but this is not that. This is a huge fucking monstrous sci-fi epic, like everybody's saying it is. And you kind of sit back in the cinema and it's just sort of experiencing the world in front of you, isn't it? It doesn't feel like you just sat watching like a structured film at times. It doesn't start and like this little thing and then this goes down and this goes blah, blah, blah. Like, and it doesn't feel like it ends either. It feels like, I can't remember what I said, but I tweeted something about like, it feels like this universe has always existed. And then in that brief time in the cinema, you get the chance to see what's happening there. Mm-hmm. And then when the film ends, it's just you leaving that universe. You're not seeing the end of a film. You just, you just stop seeing the universe to exist for a while, and you'll see more of it in 2 years. And God, that's yes. the biggest compliment you can possibly give any sci-fi fantasy thing, is that you're literally experiencing a universe, which is, that's what we watch this shit for, isn't it? To get moments like that. And I think this delivered that for me massively. I just want all the ships, like, regardless of the plot and all this stuff, which is all good anyway, I'm not saying it's not, but just, I was just so focused on every like intricate bit. I was like, I want a toy of that. I want a toy of that.
Yeah,
I want,
I knew it.
I want like a big thing of this. And like, I was just like, why are those fucking ships? Why are the helicopter fly planes not in the shop that I can buy yet?
Yeah, mate. There's so much here that you can, that you could sell, whether it's the kids, but
where's
more
the
like
Dune game?
Or Dune, yeah, mate, there's a Dune game to be made here. There is so many Dune collectibles to be made. The character, the figures.
If anybody is interested in them, McFarlane Toys have got a hold of the figure license.
McFarlane, I was going to say, someone's got the license for it.
Yeah, they've put out a full set of all the characters, which are basically on the poster. Momoa and Chalamet and all the big famous actors that are on the poster have got figures. And it's a build a figure line, and the figure that it builds. So you get like, you buy Paul and you get a leg, and you buy Duncan right. Idaho and you get an arm, and it builds the Baron once you buy all the figures.
The fat lad in the oil. Yes. I thought he was Stellan Skarsgård as the Baron was unbelievably good.
I think the two standouts for me were Oscar Isaac and Stellan Skarsgård. Yeah. They would die too.
Oscar Isaac, like Space Daddy, as he's called. His thing is, though,
God, what
he's
a handsome
just
man.
So good. He's like watching a Guatemalan you on screen. What a filthy hunk. But
we were walking past the AV room the other day, which obviously you can see through like a tiny gap. You can see the film, because obviously so that's where the projector's going through. And we were walking through, and I just leant down to see what was on. And it was just that scene where, spoilers here, guys, sorry. It was that scene where Oscar Isaac's just laid there, just with nothing on. Oh, in that room with the Baron. What a handsome man.
What a good body. But he's so good in anything. It's almost, I'd be more surprised if he wasn't
inevitable.
Very good.
I feel like this film as well, you know me, mate. I'm Mr. Let's go in and see if this thing that everyone says is great is shit, or let's go in and see if this thing that everyone says is shit is great. And this is the closest thing you could ever find for me to almost a sense of like inevitability, where I was going in, I was like, I love all the things that Denis Villeneuve's done before. Mm-hmm. I love this kind of sci-fi. It's right on my alley. The cast looks great. The trailers have all been great. Let's just fucking go do it. Like, what it was almost just like, let's get across the finish line and watch this film finally, and not, this could be like, ooh. I wasn't nervous at all. Honestly, I was not nervous at all to whether it was going to be good or bad. I was just ready to soak it in.
I knew it was going to be good. Well, what I wasn't sure was, you know, how much you'd like it, but I'd said before, like, this is a huge film, like the scale of it, and it just feels big, and not just
the amount of times he uses like a small object in front of like the way he does that, where he'll sort of plant like Paul in front of a thing, and then that's when the sandworm comes up to give you the sense of scale.
Oh, that's exactly what I mean. Yeah,
amazing.
I was gonna say, not just here's a wide shot of the desert. Oh, look how big it is! But it's exactly what you said. It's the way he comparatively scales things to other things during the action scene.
It's something
like,
that
2/3 through. One of the best examples. You've got what seems like thousands of warriors running towards each other, but in the background, they're totally dwarfed by these massive ships that come in and just get absolutely brucked up.
It's something that, like, Gareth Edwards has done really well, isn't it, in all his films. Like, Rogue One, where you'll see, like, the Star Destroyer, which looks absolutely ginormous, but then it's, like, upended by the Death Star behind it. It's the scale of the Star Destroyer in the foreground, which is what gives you that depth, and this does it all the way through. You'll have, like, one of those ships, and there's, like, eight people on that ship, and you think, oh, that's pretty big, and then it goes in front of something, it literally looks like a fly in front
of
the
gnat.
Yeah, like, I can't wait for the sequel, mate. I'm so glad, in a way, that this episode got postponed a couple of days because Matt was away at Comic-Con and then been a bit ill and stuff. And it's almost worked out, mate, because now that we're talking about Dune, we're talking about it in the context of the sequel's going to be released in 2 years' time, which is fucking crazy.
I have never had any doubt. We've always mentioned, is it going to make huge box office money? We didn't think it would, but it's doing all right, though. I had never had any doubt, and especially when I got in the cinema and it said Dune Part 1, there's no way in a million years of Sunday that Warner Brothers or whoever's financing this thing, Legendary Pictures, lets Villeneuve put Part 1 in front of this picture if they didn't already have part two ready. So,
what, so you were fully confident from the start?
I was, unless that, and I know they said about the HBO Max figures.
Because I was going to say, he pitched that he'd do it and shoot it back to back and release two parts, and they said no.
Yeah,
so that made me think. I sort of thought, I was talking to Bespin about it earlier, and I was saying, I think they sort of set a goal where they said if it makes this by, because it's been out for like half a month now everywhere, yeah, but only like a week or so in the UK and the US, hasn't it?
Yes, yeah, yeah, and there's still more to come. Like,
I'm pretty sure they'll have gone like, if this does this much by this time, you'll be fine. Like, because it's hit 200 mil now, hasn't it? And it's not even been out in the two biggest markets.
People are loving it. It's just hit 200 mil. What perfect time to drop the news that there's going to be a sequel than there was when they dropped it yesterday.
I also brought this up.
But what that does
then, it gives momentum, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It makes people then think, oh, I'm going to go and see it again. Or the people who haven't seen it, they may now go and see it. So rather than have, it's already had a bit of a drop off from week one to two, it's now probably going to have a resurgence in week three because of this news. People are going to be rushing in to see it. So it's very clever marketing from a studio, which usually ends up pissing themselves at every opportunity.
It's been quite busy at our work as well. Like, the days have been like getting busier because you've got like three big sort of children's films that are on. You've got like Paw Patrol, Addams Family,
good.
Ron's Gone Wrong. So they're all busy throughout the morning, and then as soon as it starts to get a bit quieter throughout the day, and then it's Venom, Halloween Kills, No Time to Die, and Dune. All like,
what a foursome.
Quite busy.
Kind of.
Oh, yeah.
For a box office, anyway. What did you think of our boy then? Because off air, we've all said that Chalamet, he rubs us up the wrong way sometimes, and I said he's a bit too drama student for me. I thought he was very good in this. What did you think?
I don't think he's the highlight of this. Mm-hmm. But no, I didn't dislike him in this role at all, no. But
again, I think Jason Momoa was my highlight because he just came in and just, he was having fun.
Momoa, I don't understand how anybody could come out of this and not love Momoa in that role.
Exactly.
Like, he's playing like big brother to everybody, even people who are like Oscar Isaac's character is obviously older than him, but he's even like running up to him and hugging him like he's his big brother. Like,
yeah, he's fucking cool, man. It was, he
worked
he just
in this, like,
up,
I couldn't believe. Dave Bautista as well. Like, they're two actors where, not to sort of tarnish those, but I don't think they're at the level of the most of the cast that are in it with them in this.
No, they're not.
Skarsgård and Oscar Isaac and all that. They've not put in performances in the last sort of 10 years that those lot have.
Army of the Dead doesn't count.
Yeah. But yeah, they worked perfectly. And like, physically, they are what you needed for that role.
Play to the strength, mate.
Yeah. But Dave Bautista worked perfectly what he did. I mean, we're just going to keep saying perfect a lot because I think a lot of it did really go down well. Yeah, I want to see it again because it does. This isn't a criticism, but this is sort of a warning going in because we haven't really spoiled anything about. I don't think we sort of. You don't really need to because I don't think there is that much to spoil.
I mean,
there's big plot stuff that like we don't sort of need to specifically say, but
yeah, there's things that happen with characters or events which go in and see those by yourself. But yeah, there's not other than that, there's not anything really.
I don't think we're gonna get into anything better by telling you guys that. But like,
yeah.
The stuff with the stuff with the Momoa was really good, and his sort of character is sort of. He's the character you'd want to play in this. Like, it's the perfect role where he's just there to sort of be the protector and the warrior. And like everybody in the film loves him. So how could you not sort of thing?
Yeah. And also it's Momoa, isn't it? Come on. It's Momoa. Yeah. No, oh man, exactly. This is the best film I've seen this year for every reason. Like everything you could throw at me, I'm just going to say, yes, it worked for me. Everything. Mm-hmm. The sounding, I don't know about up north in the cinema
amazing,
you're in, but the cinema I saw it in, the sound was off the charts. It was unbelievably good. But everything's good. Like Zendaya, she's got her character, Chani, she's got a real presence in the film despite not being in it very much.
Oh, I did lose my train of thought. What I was going to say is it's not a criticism, and then I just lost my train of thought talking about Momoa again. This isn't a criticism, but it does ask a lot of you. Like, as an audience member, there is so much of it thrown at you that you either go one or two ways. You'll go, oh, I didn't understand any of those. Or you go like a psychopath like me and go, I want to see that again because I want to know every bit about what that sort of bit of the world means and what they were trying to say. And there's politics stuff, there's there's world building stuff. There's sort of character lore. There's little aliens. There's a fucking weird little alien creature that somebody's got as a pet that's scurrying around. Like,
oh, this is very much us, isn't it?
Yeah, and it doesn't stand there and sort of explain it and say this is the creature.
It doesn't spoon feed it,
from the planet Blabazar. It's like, no, it's just this fucking creature, and it just scurries away.
This
and
is
now
here.
I want to know what that is.
And, yeah, this is our universe. Like you said, you're in it. Deal with it. And that's what
doesn't treat you like an idiot at all. It treats the audience like they can keep up with the pace of what's going on, which is always a good sign.
They don't write things down in crayon. That's what I put in. The thing I put in my review was that one of the things I can see people being turned off by this about is what you've just said. It's so lore heavy and exposition heavy that if you've gone to see Oscar Isaac, Momoa, Chalamet in like a sci-fi action film, you're going to be lost very quickly because
I think a bunch of people are going to walk past
heavy.
The poster and see all that cast, and most of them on there are superhero actors.
Yeah,
cast in big superhero roles, and then they're going to see this and be like, "What the fuck have I just watched?" Like,
that's what I mean.
Where's like, the fast-paced 1 hour fucking 50-minute superhero film? Yeah,
like world building and politics shit, and what are all these factions and clans?
Walk into the cinema to like do a walk into the screen to do a screen check. I turn around, there's a bunch of people just looking very confused, and there's just like on screen. I was like,
yes, and we're sitting there like pumping the air, like, yes. I like Rebecca Ferguson as the mother. I thought she was pretty. I thought she was really good. I won't say anything about the ending, but I'm very excited to see more of her character. I don't know where she's going to go, but there's a lovely mystery, like ambiguity to her, which I was like, yep, I'm here for this. I can't wait for part two, mate. I really can't wait. We've got 2 years. 2 years. I'm interested to see if he takes the book. He's obviously going to adapt the book. Like he has done, but
this
is he going
like
to change anything? Make any liberty
as well? Like,
yeah, there's a ton of them. Is he going to change it at all, or is he just going to adapt the second half? That's what I'm interested in.
Because this was quite faithful, wasn't it? From what I'm seeing, people
as
who read the book.
As I know, yeah, I haven't read the book either. I've seen the Lynch film, and that is like very kind of to a point 80s camp in comparison now.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I haven't read the book. But as far as I know, it's pretty.
Has it made you want to read the book? Because I'm sort
kind of yeah.
I would have done if they would have said there wasn't a part two. But now there's a part two. I'm going to save myself and wait.
Spot on. That's what I was about to say. I don't want to read the book because now I kind of want to see what Denis does.
And and who knows? We might. It's just because I've consumed this first. It's the same way that like I maybe if I'd already read the book. Like earlier, I would be like, oh, I don't know if I want to watch film because I want to read. Like, it's not a sort of case of movies better than books, or whatever. Because I'm assuming everybody said that book's legendary for years.
George Lucas didn't he? He nicked half the idea.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And like, we could read that book and be like, fucking hell, yeah, the book's a lot better than the film is. But it wouldn't matter because the film's still great anyway. So.
Yeah, we're lucky that the film is awesome. And I saw an article online. I think it was Screen Rant, and it said, I won't go into it properly because I haven't got it in front of me, but it said Dune is what The Phantom Menace should have been. And it's talking about like the world building, the chosen one, the politics.
I came out of the cinema
taxation.
And it was half to get a bite, but I genuinely meant it half as well. The first tweet I did was, Dune is the best Star Wars prequel ever made.
Did you get any nibbles?
No, nobody nibbled, but it was like 2 a.m. So
yeah, fair dues.
It genuinely does, and I don't mean the bad side of the prequels, but there's just like scenes that there was one scene in particular where a bunch of people are just literally sat around a table in a bunch of weird different headgear talking politics, and I'm like, how is this not the Phantom Menace? Like,
yes,
it's the difference being that the politics writing are interesting, and like you give a shit about everything that's going on, and it's not just gibberish from racist stereotypes around a table. Like,
she can't do that.
It's none of that stuff. Serious.
It's just well written as well, mate.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And it's a well written film.
So much of what happens in this film as well, which is what I was saying about there isn't like big overarching spoilers. There is a couple of big. This isn't a spoiler for me, but there is a couple of big character deaths and stuff which are going to happen, and
quite a few.
quite a few character deaths. But like, I feel like you're in the way a part one film is going to do this. You're literally scratching the surface of what's going on here, aren't you?
Oh, mate, of course. It's not incomplete.
You're nowhere near like hitting the meat on the bone here. You literally see the world, you see the setup, you see what sort of the Baron's trying to do and what his manipulation of the families and stuff like that, and the houses. Yeah. And then it's done. Like, and that it's like the biggest cock tease of all time for this universe. Because it kind of ends just as it's starting, doesn't it? And again, I don't feel like this is not me saying I didn't get enough from it. I got what I wanted from it. I just now want more. So
yeah, exactly.
It would have been the biggest bunch of bullshit if we never got a part two to this. The way it ends, like I say, on such a moment of... It'd be like watching Fellowship, and that's it. That's how this felt to me. It felt like the start of the journey. It doesn't feel like the end.
Well, this is that's something I've said as well. People have said, oh, it doesn't feel complete. Because it's part one, firstly, you tossers. And secondly, like, the Fellowship of the Ring was part one, but nobody ever... I don't remember people coming out saying, this doesn't feel like a complete story. It is. Like, the Fellowship isn't a complete story. Like, The Empire Strikes Back, part two. This doesn't feel like a complete story. No, because it's obviously... Like, those films and Dune are setting up story to come. Similar to other things, like MCU or DC films as well, or Star Wars films, like the sequels. You know,
Timothy would slap you right now for comparing the greatness of
anything
this film
to a superhero film.
To a superhero film, yeah.
Exactly. How I bet he was... I bet that all the other characters are CGI'd in with him because he didn't want to act with superhero characters.
He's like,
working at Aquaman. Who's Aquaman?
Please remove Aquaman from the room.
His foul stench is making me giddy.
Aquaman appears to have walked onto the wrong set.
Yeah.
I don't know what Timothée Chalamet sounds like.
Who is this Dave Bautista chap? He's a frightfully ugly fellow. Poor actor, too. Get him off.
This man is a wrestler. Get him off the set.
This man is sweating profusely. I don't know what he sounds. I think he probably sounds quite normal, to be honest, but he does look like a Victorian slipper.
The way he talks is that's now his voice on NPM.
Oh, well, come on now. Come on, Denis. How can you expect me to work with these phalluses?
Oh, Denis, get me out of this sand.
Oh, my God. Oh, Denis, put on a fresh cup of green tea as well and some lima beans. Yes, it's excuse me. That's proper Chalamet, that is. But yeah, he did it right in the film, Tim. We weren't overly keen on
him. He did just have a few Anakin moments, though. There's a few lines of dialogue. A
couple of Hayden moments.
Yeah, big time. And then he has his strop in that tent. And I was like, boy, strop, he's going full on strop. Hayden. Yeah.
And obviously, mate, Hayden's coming back as well. Our boy Hayden's coming back to Star... Sorry, Timothy. He's coming back to Star Wars in Ahsoka.
Sorry,
so
Timothy.
We're eating well here, us Hayden fans, us prequel fans.
Oh, yes. That's thing I'm excited for, yeah.
I'm excited for that anyway, but now he's back. I've always liked Hayden, even though I understand that the dialogue he was fed led to some naff performances. But
who gives a shit? He was like my dude when I was growing up. I loved Anakin.
He's still my man now. He's handsome. He's a hockey fan, and he's taken it on the chin, come back, and now he's in Kenobi and Ahsoka. Fair play to the fella.
Yeah.
I just wish Jake Lloyd got the same treatment, and people loved him as well, but Star Wars fans, as we all are.
I heard about Jake Lloyd, didn't he get done for like doing 110 down a motorway or something?
Something like that. I think he's schizophrenic. He's been diagnosed. He's been sectioned, and he's not doing... He hasn't been doing great.
Not doing great. Yeah, so, yeah.
Because
I hope that man gets his sort of recovery, and I hope he comes to a Comic Con one day and gets a full... I think there could be that day for him. He could turn up in Hall H and get a... Not Hall H, at Comic Con actually, a Celebration, and get a big buzz from the
crowd. I think he would do. Well, of course he would do, because, you know, hopefully people aren't so stupid, but we know there are stupid people in the world. But, you know, Ahmed Best got a hero's welcome, so did Hayden. How sad does it sound that we're sitting here saying, like, well done for being nice to people?
As if they did something wrong.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
As if they did something
bad by being in a movie. Grow up, you wankers. But yeah, I'd like to see Jake Lloyd come back and get a hero's welcome.
Yeah, because like Lucas has been coming on the stage like for the years that he came on, and obviously like people going mental for him and erupting. And like if you're Hayden, you're sat there thinking like,
hold on,
this motherfucker did that to me, and they're celebrating him. Like, but yeah. I think obviously you'll see Hayden on more stages for a long time now than you'll see Georgie Boy. He's done with it, isn't he, Sam?
Yeah, George says he doesn't care anymore. He's just sitting there eating his noodles in his checkered shirts. But
He is eating the good stuff though. That those fucking because he's eating it in like the mall like thingies where
food court,
eating like takeaway Chinese in like the food courts in the malls.
Yeah.
They are the fucking bomb. You know the ones where they just say, right, you've got five things in this train. You just need to fill it with all the things you want. Fucking hell, mate, they're good. I don't care, listeners. I don't care if you're going to tell me that that's like trash or it's not authentic. You don't know good cuisine. Fuck you. That mall food court food is so good. It's so good.
You uncultured swines. Mate, I like that. To be fair, I am obviously I like the finer things in life as we all do. But mate, give me all of those dirty, greasy carbs from the mall.
That's
food
what I mean, man. Yeah, there's in many ways there is a time and a place for different kinds of food, as there are movies, as there are this and that. And sometimes I just want the food court Chinese, man. It's so good. Yeah, so good.
You've been
that smell that comes off it.
You've been eating a lot of kind of, well, I suppose, cinematic food court Chinese this week, because you've been checking out the Halloween franchise, haven't you, mate?
My goodness. If that didn't start off with a sizzling steak and just devolve into a fucking just literal turd on a plate. Yeah,
exactly. A shite sandwich.
Let's do kills first, mate. Let's get that out of the way.
So I spoke kills and I wasn't a fan of it. I said it was mid-tier.
I fucking loved kills. And I'm sort of just holding no things against that. I know a bunch of people are hating it. There's a bunch of people loving it as well. It's all been toxic as fuck online. It's like people are calling it like the Last Jedi of the horror community and stuff, which is just, I hate that has to be the case. I hate that. And I said last week when we recorded, mate, that regardless of what's going on with this, you shouldn't just not go see it for that reason. And nope. I went in and my expectations had like lowered anyway, because obviously everybody was this and that, everybody hated it. And I genuinely sat there and I was like, no, man, this is all work. You obviously knew. So spoilers for Halloween Kills here, everybody. But Matt kept the secret and Matt knew that there was a bit at the start of this that I was going to be going fucking mental for. Yeah.
And so, that was great, that bit was.
Oh, God. But basically, I sat in the cinema, mate, and I was eating that up. So at the start of the film, again, spoilers, if you haven't seen Halloween Kills, stop listening. We'll do some more. This episode's going to go for about an hour, so we'll do some more stuff about, I don't know, whatever, before the end. There's a whole entire section of the first bit of the film, which is about, is it 20 minutes long, mate? Something like that?
Yeah, about 20 minutes.
That's set during, and it like flips back to it throughout, where it's set during the events of the original film.
Yes.
So the scene where Michael is obviously shot by Dr. Loomis, goes off the edge of the balcony, he's laid on the floor, they go to look back at him and he's gone. This film picks up from where he went when he disappeared, and Dr. Loomis is still chasing after him. Yep. And you pick up with like Chief Brackett is back in this one. And Hawkins was there. Hawkins is the one that this is based around, basically. Hawkins. And, oh, God, I fucking loved it, mate. How much did they nail the look of a 70s film? Because I always think when they try and do this, it always looks really cheesy and, like, corny when they do the, oh, this is the bit, like, but this was in the 70s. They somehow nailed, like,
genuine, the
look and feel of not just a 70s film, of like literally Carpenter's original Halloween film.
They must. Because he's in the same
Exactly. They've got to have had him involved in
this.
They use the same exact score.
What camera did
you
use? Everything. What film role did you use?
What shot would you use in this?
Yeah, like, that's it.
They've either studied it or they've asked him. I don't know how involved he, because they keep his involvement in the series quite like under wraps. They do say he is obviously a lead producer, and he makes obviously the score for all of them. And the score in this one is fucking just as good as it was in the last one. For me, it was amazing score. There's one scene in particular, just to mention the score, but we'll jump back in a second, where Michael picks the mask up at the end when they've pulled it off his head in the middle of the street, and the score goes absolutely fucking nuts. I describe this moment as like someone like me, I'm a Halloween nut, obviously. That was like akin to Captain America catching Mjolnir, but for Halloween fans. He literally walks into the middle of the road, he's surrounded by people, and they basically give him the, we've got you, we've captured you. And he goes,
evil dies tonight.
And he goes, nah, have you fuck. And he puts the fucking mask on and just goes for it. But right, the bad stuff. Because I agree with more or less all the criticisms on this.
Mm-hmm.
that stuff just didn't bother me as much because I sort of, I think this film's level of enjoyment for a lot of people, because everybody's sort of unanimously agreeing that everything with Michael is great. Some yes. of the best in series stuff with what happens with Michael.
Yes.
Every kill he does feels brutal. It feels like cruel. It feels just so
evil. There was a few, mate, where, again, this is just after the prelude had finished. There's a few of Michael's kills after the firefighter moments where I literally sat in the screen and was going, yes. Like, you literally going, yes. Because it was just brutal. Like, the one with the one where he gets the UV light and just shoves it through someone's cheek. I was like, God damn, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know,
the fluorescent light in the
that's right, yeah.
neck, isn't it? And then that just follows before a scene where he tests out every single kitchen knife on a husband until he decides on one he likes.
Actually using him as an absolute cheap pinboard, isn't he?
Yeah.
That scene was
incredible. But yeah, the bad stuff, it's going to hinge on the they've basically got everybody in Haddonfield to go after Michael. And the Evil Dies Tonight stuff is just daft, whatever. It is. The dialogue for the Evil Dies Tonight stuff is just silly.
He dies tonight.
Yeah, there's a lot of like little like bits of bad dialogue, but it's sort of mixed in with like good stuff that fits just in line with the 2018 stuff. Like, I think the stuff with Alison, there's nothing about her character that's inconsistent from this to the last one. The stuff with her and her boyfriend and they're going after Michael and stuff, it is mostly... Like, I've literally gone to watch this twice in a week and settled upon the fact that it's all the stuff around the hospital, mate, is what's bad. It's the hospital bit specifically is where it goes bad. But it will hinge on the fact of whether you sit there and go, are they trying to tell me that this is like, is this like a social commentary, or is this just literally showing you how stupid this lot is? And I think it sort of does one... It does some of that in some areas, and then it does some of it where it just falls on its arse in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does both. I think it both literally goes, look how stupid this lot are, and it's America. All just, like, bad. But then they'll go 2 seconds later, and Laurie will say something similar, and I'm like, I'm okay with this lot. I'm okay with Tommy leading a band of idiots and getting, like, everything wrong and talking this stupid Evil Dies Tonight. It's like... It's literally, it's like Make America Great Again levels of like stupid fucking folk talk of just shit. It's just like people just catching on something and chanting it and not knowing what the context is or anything. These people are all shouting it, which is fine because they're portrayed as idiots, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
But then when Laurie starts doing it, that's where I'm like, what are you doing? You can't have Laurie be as stupid as this lot after what she's been through.
Yep.
Laurie needs to be the one here. And the thing is, mate, I don't know where they dropped the ball specifically, because there is a scene where Laurie and Karen are running around the hospital and they're saying, it's not him. What are you doing? God. You're crazy. Like, it's not him.
But didn't they already see him on the news? So they knew it wasn't him in the bar?
Yeah, but I don't think Karen and Laurie ever see him, because they're like at the back of the crowd. They're just hearing people talk backwards towards them and say, it's Michael, everyone, it's Michael. And then once they see him go past, they go, it's not him. And then Brackett goes, yeah, that's not Michael. Like, but even that bit's stupid, because he doesn't match the description of what they must have all heard 100 times of what Michael Myers is like.
A shuffling which is a fucking gimp.
Yeah, 7 foot, like, monster of a man. Like, a slender, but, like, football player's build. American football player's, yeah. Huge guy. Not... like a fat little, like, dude must be 5 foot and he's shuffling around. Like you say, that man has not done all the stuff that they've described on every police report. Surely they've all spoke about what Michael Myers looks like in Haddonfield.
Do you think so, mate?
That.
No, carry on, mate.
That is the section, mate, sorry, where I think
no.
all that stuff is bad. And I think for a lot of people, that sort of spreads before and after. If that makes sense. Like, a lot of people think all the stuff before it's bad and they think all the stuff after it's bad, and that's obviously fair. It's all subjective. I just think it's more isolated for me, where everything else works. Mm-hmm. I genuinely mean this as well, mate. Everything in it worked for me, and, like, especially, obviously, the stuff at the start, but even the scene at the end, but like back in the house, is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. the scene with Alison, her boyfriend, and Karen coming back, like...
Yes, well, yeah, her poor boyfriend. But the scene at the very end is
the most cruel
thinking.
Kill in the entire film.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the guy was gone anyway, pretty much, but he's just like, nope, you're going to watch me do this.
The way he's looking at Alison, and basically he takes away the top of the beams on a staircase...
And slams then him
slams
it.
His neck through the like bit of wood that's just exposed underneath, and slams his head again and again and again. While Alison's like broke her ankle. She snapped her leg to the point where the bone's sticking out of jeans. She can't move, so she's just got to watch her boyfriend get pulverized. Michael walks round the stairs and grabs his head.
We think he's
going to
leave him, don't we? You think, oh, he's going to leave him?
No, my God. And he just turns the head, like...
And he twists, and his head, and the way his neck just, like, limply flops, it's like, God damn. But the very end is what got me. Why does Judy Greer, whatever, go into the bedroom? Well, you know, how did Michael get in there? I mean, is it because he's transcended? Because everyone's there. How does he get up there? Why does she go up there? Is he going to stay up there for four years?
I've heard other people complain about this, mate. This is one that I don't agree with. She's gone back up there because they spoke about the entire film about what was he actually looking at out that window. And everybody's obsessed with trying to get into the mind of Michael Myers. That's what the entire series is about, isn't it? What is going on in his head? They have a scene where Karen and Laurie say, I wonder what he was looking at. Was he just looking at his own reflection, or what is he looking at out the window? So she's genuinely gone to see, right, what is Michael looking at out this window? And then... Also, the other bit is Michael walks around Haddonfield constantly without being seen. There's a bit with this that I've got a problem with, though, so don't worry. But how could people not assume that he might just walk a bit down the street, through the other houses, come around the back and come out that back door and go upstairs without people seeing him? They're not all over the house. As far as they're concerned, he's with the other lot getting absolutely pasted.
But they should
this
have
is where my problem
well.
Lies, though, is that when Michael stands back up after they've beat the shit out of him for a bit, they've established in the scene before that they are one garden over, because Judy Greer walks him through one garden and says, come and get your mask. Then on the next street, she goes, gotcha. So that's one street. You think about one street, and you can hear people if they're on the other street, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Michael then decimates 20
people. Nobody hears anything. Yep.
And nobody hears a thing. And I mean, I've seen people say like the sirens and this and that. Mate, if I was one of those people on the other street, especially if I was fucking Judy Greer and everything that my family had gone through, I'd be like, right, let's just go double check that this is done with. And I know she goes and stabs him, but how's they not screaming and running and doing all this? Like, how has nobody heard that? That's a gripe for me, but...
Well,
again, it's preceded by a fucking amazing scene where he picks up the knife again and just... batters everybody. Like
anything Michael Myers does is great, and that's which is the thing about the film. Is this is why I don't believe, which we'll mention in a bit, I haven't subscribed to the theory that this is the worst Halloween film ever, because it's
people
not.
Mate, I've just rewatched this series and this is not a bad Halloween film. I will fucking tell you that now.
No, even I've chucked it somewhere. Well, not quite near the bottom, but part of the reason that during it, I was thinking, what is this? Because
go on, mate, because you weren't as big a fan of this, so tell me.
It was obviously the whole tagline of everyone. There wasn't any dialogue. At the main parts, it was just, he dies tonight. Tonight we end this. Evil dies tonight, and they had all the main characters say it. And I thought, for fuck's sake, just talk properly.
That's the problem, mate. Just to jump on your point there as well, is that it's fine if all those idiots keep saying it, but it's when Laurie and then Alison says it. You've got to have them lot above that, because they're trying to make a comment on
mob mentality and
how stupid it is. And I think they could have made that comment if the rest of the characters weren't doing it as well.
Yep.
Like, that's the problem. But genuinely, mate, I believe that they... 100% believe that Jamie Lee Curtis says those lines so that they could put it in the trailer.
Yeah, I think that's what I mean. It's not, it doesn't fit
her character at all. She's not with them on this. Like, and that's what shows when they're running through the hospital. She's saying, no, what are you doing? You're going after the wrong guy. This is wrong. What we're doing.
But nobody's listening because they've got their bloodthirsty now by now.
The only person that doesn't get into all this bullshit is Judy Greer. It's Karen. Mm-hmm. She never once subscribes to it all, does she? She doesn't ever stand
there. She lies to her mother and says, oh, yeah, he's dead. When he's dead, wasn't. But that's then on her.
But I don't think that's a bad thing. That's just a bad choice by the character in the movie itself. Well, no, because, that's not like a...
That's not bad writing. No.
No, she holds it together in that sense. Like, she's the through line in this one, definitely.
I mean, I've also heard people say, and I get it, when they say, we don't go to Halloween for good work dialogue.
No,
I go to any film for good dialogue, but at the same time...
I'm on the opposite side of this, mate, where I have seen that argument. So I've seen the argument you're making is that it's just not a very good film. Loads of people have made that one. I've also seen the argument of, what did you expect as a Halloween film? Shut the fuck up. These are amazing films, some of these. Like, I listened back to our Halloween episode to sort of pick up on what my thoughts were a year ago, and they haven't really changed that much, mate, where I do think they obviously, none of them match the quality of the original. Mm-hmm. The 2018 one is really good. It's really good. It's really solid. I'd probably, like, we were talking about our rankings, I'd probably rank that second. If you want to watch Halloween Kills and sit and tell me this is a bad film, go and watch The Curse of Michael Myers, the one where they're explaining that the constellations of the stars aligning are what decides where Michael kills, because it's a cult of Thorn that control him, and that he's a victim, and that he was never part of anything. Or go watch the one where Busta Rhymes starts a fucking MTV show and puts Michael Myers puts the Michael Myers costume on, and then he runs around and kills them all. And then there are a bunch of establishing scenes where Busta Rhymes is watching kung fu movies, so he has a kung fu fight with Michael Myers.
Trick or treat, motherfucker.
The whole time, and then he's literally running around, spinning kicks, and he goes, hi-ya! Like, this is Busta Rhymes doing this. Like, that's where the series went. If you want to remind yourself of, like, how bad this can be, and for me, obviously, this is subjective as well, but for how good it can be, with Halloween Kills us, a good follow-up to 2018 for me. I'm not coming at it from the point of view of, what did you expect? Oh, I just loved the bits with Michael. I think this does some amazing stuff with, also, it completely severs the connection between Michael and Laurie, which is one of my least favourite things in it at all.
It totally does. It almost makes her redundant to a point where it says, you know, he's not coming for you.
Says so it, doesn't like, it? Oh, it says, she doesn't care about you. And she's like, well, he came after me at the house. I said, no, it was the doctor. The doctor took him there.
Bought him
it's nothing. He's not after you. And honestly, got goosebumps in that moment because I was like, finally, a film that understands Michael Myers. He doesn't care. It's not about Laurie. And obviously, the reason it went that way in the original sequels is because Carpenter, self-explanatory as well, he said this, he was bladdered and wrote the Halloween 2 script, and he went, oh, pulled this out of my arse that it was a brother. Like, and he hates Halloween 2 for that reason. Yep. It's his own fault. He did it. But that, I always ask the question of this, mate. So you're living on your street, mate. It's where you are now. Yep. If you live on the street with Laurie Strode and Michael Myers has come in, that's scary because he might get you on the way.
Yep.
If you live on a street and Michael Myers is just walking down that street, you're as much of a target as she is and everybody else on your street is for no fucking reason. And I made this point last time we did this because I was talking about the Rob Zombie one specifically about how they try and make too much of a familial connection, and they give you the explanation that Michael is this tortured soul and he's going after his family and all this. That's not as scary because that's revenge. That's not psychotic behavior. That is just, it is as well, but you know what I mean? It's not isolated psychotic behavior.
There's motive almost behind it.
Yeah, that you don't need. Michael doesn't need a motive. That's where he's at his best. Is the man is just a walking killing machine, and anything that's in his way will just get obliterated.
Pure evil behind those eyes, mate.
And as much as there is bad stuff in this film, which we've both just got into, it does that perfectly. It gets that absolutely right in a follow up to the 2018 one, where they could have done some. Oh well, he's always after the Strodes and all this. Nope, he's not. He's after anything. It's just going after anything. And it almost becomes that Laurie is... Michael is Laurie's obsession now. And I know the 2018 one did some of that stuff perfectly. But now that they've severed the connection, that is absolutely what this is. She's after Michael. And that's where it's going to go in ends, obviously, I'd imagine. Is she's going to go fuck him up.
She's going to go after him. That's the only logical thing I could think of. It's just going to be a... a duel between those two.
In the way
how they get
we
there.
Both spoke about it on that last Halloween episode, mate, and that's the moments that we loved the most in the 2018 is the subversion where Laurie stood across the road looking at Alison while she's in class, just like Michael did to Laurie, and then she emerges from that shadow behind him and attacks him like Michael did to her. She gets pushed off the balcony, and you see this parallel. That's now been pushed further where she's now got a like sort of a psychotic connection to go in and killing Michael. And Michael doesn't even give a shit who she is.
Michael doesn't know, remember who she is, yeah.
He probably goes, I've seen this familiar face before. Like, tried to kill her once. Whatever.
She pushed me off a balcony, fair dude. I'll get you one day, but...
I've had all that built up.
Mate, don't worry. You need to get it all off your big, hairy, hunky chest. But no, one of my biggest issues was more of a... It may be more of a me issue, but I thought the 2018, I thought that was well written, and they set up the family... drama quite well, very well. And they sit there. I just think it felt more rounded. Whereas this one, in the build up, certainly Jamie Lee Curtis is guilty of this. It's kind of building up to be this prestige film that we're tackling feminism, the Me Too movement, the mob stuff. We know we're tackling some heavy subjects.
She's even said, I don't know if you watched the Red Letter Media review, she's even tried to compare it to the Black Lives Matter stuff. She said, like, oh, if you look at this. And I'm like, you can see in the interview that David Gordon Green is just wants to throw up.
Yeah,
he's like, please don't. And I totally agree, mate, that she's doing the wrong thing on that. But I refuse to, and I know you're not doing this, but I refuse to sort of assign that blame to the film, because Jamie Lee Curtis has said that the quotes are all in the Red Letter Media video. She says it's just a bit like the Black Lives Matter stuff with the stuff that's going on there about the mob. And I'm like, that is so distasteful. You don't even understand. You either don't understand what's happening in Halloween Kills, or you don't understand what's happening with the BLM movement.
With the wider world.
You just don't understand what's going on.
I can't blame
David Gordon Green for that, because one of his actors is going back. It's like, we don't criticize Dune because Chalamet's a twat. we can't criticize Halloween Kills because Jamie Lee Curtis is out of touch.
No,
you know what I mean?
Not because of what she's
saying. And you're not
saying.
Doing that. I'm not saying you are.
No, I know. It's more that, obviously, she's built up to be this prestige film, and obviously it played it at Venice, which is fair enough, build up some hype. But
which it's not.
Let's be serious, it's not.
I really like this film. I'm not telling you like it's a bad film that I had a good time with. I think it's a good film. It's subjective, obviously. But it's not the original. It's not The Shining. It's not Psycho.
It's not quite up there with those. But for me, where it fell down was it needed to be... The first film and this one, they're trying to be like Carpenter's film in the sense that, you know, they're trying to build atmosphere and they're trying to make it quite serious, quite a bit of weight to it. But when you've got, like, I think when you've got people like Tommy Doyle running around and all the taglines they're shouting... They needed to make it a little bit sillier for that to fit in. I don't think that fit in with the tone and vibe that they're trying to set up.
Yeah.
So it felt like it really didn't, what's the word? It, as a juxtaposition, it didn't jive very well for me. I thought this would work in a film which was winking at the audience, like, come on, look at these guys. But it was trying to sell it as a serious film.
I did feel that at times, though, mate. And not all the time, but... Especially when they all get offed at the end. I was like, you bunch of idiots thought you stood a fucking chance and you thought you could be the police yourself and you thought you could do this and like...
Just knock his head off. Come on, guys.
Yeah. But no, there was... I know why they didn't, mate, because they've killed him before
in films.
And then they'll just do another... Yeah, well, not just that. They knew they were going to make sequels like in two. This film... Everything that we're saying about this one as well, you could just apply to the original Halloween 2. It feels a bit like sort of it's got less atmosphere than the one that was before it. It's a bit more ham-fisted. There's a lot more kills, and those kills are a lot more brutal, just like in the original Halloween 2. There's a lot of stuff set in a hospital. So much of it is.
And Loomis is in it as well. We get a really good Loomis impression here as well.
A while ago, mate, we said we were going to rewatch Halloween 2 for the specific reason that we were going to compare it with... It looked like they were just going to do the same thing again. Mm-hmm. And critically, they have done the same thing again. But I also think that this will be one that... Because there is a bunch of Halloween fans that are loving this. And
they're good. And I'm so glad that you love it as well.
Oh, yeah, there are a bunch of Halloween fans that are hating it. As you said earlier, mate, some of them are saying it's the worst one, which I just...
Yeah, it's just bollocks.
Those people have not watched the Halloween series.
Yeah, they've only ever watched the first one and 2018.
Yeah, and I'm struggling where to plant this, mate, and I've moved it around a lot, and I've come to the conclusion, I've been trying to rank the Halloween films, and I've watched them in the last week, and I've rewatched them, and I keep putting them on best, going mad, because I just, every time she comes in the room, the fucking theme's playing from one of the films. Like, I just keep watching them again and again.
It's when Aunt goes to bed wearing that mask, which really pisses her off.
Oh, yeah, I'm just in the mood, mate. I've had the T-shirt on, it's the time of yeah. year, this is my franchise.
It's like, Halloween, bro.
And I've come to the conclusion, mate, that I love half of these films, and I mean love. I adore the first Halloween. So this is the ranking order: the 2018 Halloween, Halloween 3, Halloween 2, Halloween Kills, and Halloween 4. And the rest are all varying degrees. It's like H2O. I think it's pretty decent. It doesn't feel like a Halloween film. It feels like a Scream film.
It was a good shout. We said that yesterday, didn't we?
They are literally playing Scream in the background of one of the scenes, I think, if I remember right.
Yeah, because Halloween 5,
The Revenge of Michael Myers, is the one that I was taking the piss out of last week where they dropped the fucking chainmail on thingy. That one's quite fun, despite being not good. But then these last four, mate, are genuinely turds of cinema. I can't believe how bad The Curse of Michael Myers... Oh, mate, the scene that I put in the chat where they're just talking, they're like, Michael Myers has tortured Haddonfield enough, and that random douche with the fucking mustache turns to her and goes, I bet she wears, what's he say? He says, pants, like, with the hole in the back and barks like a dog. Like, and I was
crotchless
what
pants.
What is going on? Yeah, I bet she wears crotchless pants and barks like a dog. I was like, this is terrible. And then the Rob Zombie stuff, man. Let me just play
clip you sent, bro. Damn.
Let me play you a clip of what it sounds like to watch a Rob Zombie film in general. But the Halloween films, for me, Halloween is about, like, Haddonfield, that, like, cozy feel, and then the horribleness of Michael Myers in intruding on that. When this is what's going on anyway, which I just couldn't believe. That just goes and goes. I'm not even halfway through that video, and she just keeps screaming, fucking bitch, you fucking slut, you
screaming
fucking whore. And I'm like, what is this? Like, they're the worst ones. Because even with the Busta Rhymes one, trick or treat, motherfucker, at least I can laugh at that. At least I can laugh.
It's like, winking at the audience. It knows it's crap, and it's playing into it.
Yeah.
Almost.
Well... Almost. I don't know about that. Well, I don't even know about that, mate.
It knows the tone of the film for sure. And it's like, we've got Busta Rhymes. Let's have Busta Rhymes say this and have a kung fu fight. Rob Zombie's films are just something else.
What you said about Halloween Kills, about them not knowing, like, Rob Zombie's fucking Halloweens just don't understand tone at all.
Don't understand, like, filmmaking.
And... yeah, and it's not just that. So I'm watching it, and I'm like, right, maybe the tone's not for me. You know what I'm like? I try and get everything out of something, even if it's something that not for me, I try even more, mate. I try and give things like another chance, and I'll keep going. And I was like, is it cinematography wise? Let's have a look. It's fucking shot like shit.
The whole thing is
just close ups or like scenes of like bathrooms that's just got like Alice Cooper posters and like shit all over
it's
the
like
walls.
A crappy metal music video, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've said this before. I said it on the last episode last year, so I'm repeating myself. Why does everybody in the Rob Zombie films exist as if the entire world are fucking goths? Like, what? Everybody, I know it's not goths before people correct me, just fucking everybody is like him. Everybody's just him. Everybody's got long hair. Even Michael Myers has got to have long hair and a fucking hoodie. I'm surprised he didn't have a fucking band tee on. I'm surprised he wasn't wearing an Alice Cooper t-shirt, Michael Myers. Yeah, God like almighty. Fucking. I just, yeah, they are terrible. And long story short, I don't think Halloween Kills is honestly anywhere near down there. I think it's sort of up way towards the top. And in ranking these, I've swapped the rank of them all that many times. I think it's pointless. There are just two tiers. There are the good Halloween films, and there are the fucking bad
crap ones.
Ones
yeah.
In fact, no, I'll put H2O in the middle. H2O is
there's 2.5 tiers.
Yeah.
I've put this above, there's my spoiler, I've put Kills above Halloween 2, because like we said last week, Halloween 2, the old one, it's just, it's not boring, but it's not exciting, it's just
I watched it three vanilla. Times, mate, for this reason, where the first time I just chucked it on again, I was like, it just went by.
This is exactly.
I kept putting it on, and I don't know if I'm going insane, I was like, I'm really starting to like this. I'm really starting to dig it because it looks like the original. And that's the way I texted you about it earlier, didn't I, mate? The way that sort of it's been described by some people is it's the longest post-credit scene to the original film. And that's fucking perfect. It doesn't have everything that the original film has. But, mate, you'll have to give that one a rewatch and just see what you think, because you might come out of it and hate even more. Who knows? But just sort of go in and just as it's like just more of the night he came home, which is what a lot of people like about it.
Yep.
And not just like this is a new, brand new, original, crazy Michael Myers has done this and all that, because that's Halloween 4. That's the return of Michael Myers where he comes back and does this, whatever. And it's Halloween 2018 where you get this new interpretation. 2 is just more of 1.
Yeah.
And I always saw that as like that's a bit thick. But just accepting that and just watching it for that of like, especially as a double bill, mate, you watch that and then obviously he stands up, walks away. In Halloween 2, you get to see where he went and what he did, like in that timeline. Perfect.
Yeah.
It's not a perfect film. What I mean is it's just perfect just to go straight in from 1 to 2.
Yeah, they link up perfectly. Yeah,
it's really fun to do, mate. So maybe that's one to recommend to you guys as well, listening. If you're going to watch the first one, chuck the second one on as well. I mean, because the third one after that, you don't need to put the third one. You can watch at any point. Yeah, it's nothing to do with anything.
Just don't even just call it anything other than a Halloween film, and you can put it on whenever you want. But
again, I think three good film. It's just literally, it's not even set like in Halloween 3. They are watching the original Halloween film on TV. It's not set in the same universe, just so you don't need to worry about it.
Very old. Yeah. Yeah, no, I put 2018 at the top because it nails things for me, which
you haven't budged from that either, mate. Because that's what you did say last
time. And again, and our 7-8-1 is a close second. Then I've put Halloween 4, H2O 3, then Kills right in the middle. Halloween 2, 5, Resurrection. Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 and Rob Zombie. So Kills is bang smack in the middle for me. It's behind Halloween 3 because of the reasons we've just said. Halloween 3 is just, you can just take that off the list almost because it isn't a Halloween film, but it's different. H2O, H2O's got some daft moments in it, but I think that was a good comeback considering what came before it. I forgot to put H6 on there. That's
is that the curse?
That's just above Resurrection, yeah. But Halloween 4, we mentioned that last week. You watched it about the twist, but it's also a really decent film.
The only thing that's like sort of different, and I've watched like a video on this the other day. I'm not going to claim I point this out, but what it is it sort of takes a step into a new direction where the other ones, I'd say everything on this, like of the good half, I mean, like 2 and like 3 does this and like 4. But 4, the opening sequence doesn't have the like iconic music, and it's got this different music, and it's got these backdrops where it's not just got the pumpkin on, and you can tell it's sort of a new, different thing. It's shot completely different. There's a lot of close-ups and stuff, whereas opposed to Carpenter's has got a lot of big, wide shots with just like characters just walking around in the distance.
Static shots,
loads with Laurie, ones with Michael. One of my favourite shots in the original is literally the scene where the kids are sat in the front room of Laurie's house. They look out the window and Michael fucking walks around the front of the house with a body in his arms, just walks into the house, and you're just like, shit.
It's like
he's there. He's right there across the road. But mate, carry on with your... Oh, you did your ranking, didn't you?
Yeah, that was it, mate. H6 goes above Resurrection. But Kills is smack in the middle. I put it above Halloween 2 because, elite for me, Halloween Kills has got more momentum. The memorable moments are more memorable, like that intro, the prelude scene. Everything with Michael was, like you say, in H2 is big, but this is bigger. I would rather watch Halloween Kills than Halloween 2, so that's why it's above for me. Kills is 6 for me, mate.
Kills is 6. So is, for me,
what, 12?
Yeah, that's not too bad.
It's smack in the middle. What I said last week is dead in the middle.
I could read you my list now, mate, but honestly, like I said, it could change tomorrow.
Well, the top six.
The only ones that are cemented are the first one and the 2018 one, a first and second. I haven't moved them yet. And then I've had two kills and four and three. Obviously, everything after that has all... They've all been third. They've all been sixth. right now... So if I just refresh my letterbox now for what I put it at, because I keep just looking at it and I'm like, so obviously this isn't definitive anyway, because I couldn't decide between them. I think three, four kills and two.
I can't decide.
Three, four kills and two have all got amazing moments in them, but they've all got little bits wrong with them, like structural problems and stuff like that. But at the minute, it's Halloween first, 2018, Halloween two, Halloween Kills, Halloween 4, Halloween 3, the fucking bottom half will never move. So H2O is the best of the rest.
The best of the rest.
Out of the ones that aren't top, because I genuinely think those first six are fucking amazing. I love them. Honestly, I do love them. I could when I'm going to marathon this from now on, I will always go and watch the original 2, 3, 4, then the 2018 and Kills. I'll always put them back on because... Yeah. They're so good. But H2O, decent film. Problem with that is Laurie beats the absolute piss out of Michael just in a straight-up fight, and it makes Michael look, like, silly, and it's not scary at all. Like, this, nope. It's not scary in any way at all, H2O. It's all in really brightly lit places, inside and outside. It's all sort of thingy. And another thing that randomly pisses me off is everybody keeps walking up to Laurie and they're just like, hey, Laurie. And she's like, ah! Like, she shits herself at every character in the film who comes and talks to her. But yeah, Halloween 5, Return of Michael Myers. It's just Halloween 4 again, but not as good. And for some reason, then they go into the big stuff about what's the name? Jamie Lloyd's connection to Michael Myers via the brains and all that stuff. And that gets a bit bad. Curse of Michael Myers is Paul Rudd. And it's the one where Donald Pleasance, God rest his soul, died before they did the reshoots.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then they do this awful ending where they basically just pan down to Michael's mask and you just hear, and it's just apparently Donald Pleasance dying.
Just having a fit,
Well, he's getting killed by Michael, but obviously they didn't shoot it, but they just had audio from a different scene. So they just used that. It's really bad. It's really bad. But that's also the one with Paul Rudd beating the shit out of Michael, where there's like green stuff coming out of his eyes. It's crap.
Paul Rudd beating out Michael Myers is not a phrase you think you'd hear, but no, it happened. Never.
But there's a worse phrase, and it's Busta Rhymes beating up Michael Myers with Kung Fu, and then he puts an electric taser to his balls and says Happy Halloween, and then says Trick or Treat, motherfucker, and all that, and it's terrible. But even below all these for me are Rob Zombie's Halloweens. Halloween is next, and then Halloween 2 is after that.
You could watch those crappy ones, and even Resurrection and 6, and
mate,
you could roll your eyes.
You sat there with a big crate of beer and watched Resurrection,
mate, we'd have
fucking have a right time.
Yeah,
you
it,
watch
you
Rob Zombie's Halloween
zombie.
In a serious situation or a silly one, it's fucking shite.
We'd sit there with a 12-pack of cider and watch Zombies
depressed.
1 and 2. And we'd be so depressed. We'd end up fighting each other. We'd just
horrible,
be beating each other up.
Horrible film. Yeah.
We'd be telling each other our deepest, darkest fears and secrets because we just feel grubby and grimy from those disgusting films. But yeah, Resurrection, H2O, at least you can have a laugh with them. Like, yeah, Buster
Rhymes
is crap.
At least you'll have a laugh at
crap.
Them and
at
curse
them, sorry,
as
yeah.
well.
And you could just be like, this is shit, but I get it, but it's camp almost, whereas Rob Zombie and number two, they go for, you know, they go for really serious, weighty, not weight as in like Oscar weight, I mean like they're going for serious, grubby, this is horror for the grown-ups kind of vibe.
Yeah, I fucking hate that notion. And it almost even feels like Rob Zombie is that audacious that he's like, yeah, this is even going to be better than the original. This is going to be brutal. Everyone's swearing. Everyone's talking about sucking each other's cocks and stuff. And
that's
just like,
not what makes a horror film
hate
a horror
it.
Film. Yeah,
I
they've always done
it.
That, but that's never been, the character's never been defined by the fact that they always talk about that or speak like that. It's really, and
it's
also,
fine if a bunch of characters in Rob Zombie's film are crude and thingy. I've said this before.
A couple of them, yeah.
But when Laurie Strode's doing it, innocent Laurie Strode, like, who's supposed to be the person who we're rooting for, an innocent, like, little schoolgirl, and she's
when everyone's
she's
doing
around,
it,
like,
it's
I
just
fucking hate you, you fucking slut, and I'm like, I hate it. Well, literally,
the guy
my
who
ears.
Directed Halloween 2 also directed Halloween Resurrection, so there's a little fact for you there.
Yes, which is just astonishing.
Rick Rosenthal, yeah.
It shows you how much of 2 is just like, look, Halloween 2 is one of the worst things that John Carpenter has ever written, and it's still one of the best Halloween films.
Yeah.
That's how fucking good he is. He's great. Yeah. He's a legend for that reason. He wrote Halloween 2 while he was pissed up, and it's the third best Halloween
and
film.
It's still better than...
Or it's like it's fourth and the fifth on yours even. That's how good he is. He hated the idea that he had to write another. He was pissed at his chair, and he still did
to
something
do
that good. Like, because I think the only thing he does wrong script-wise is the Laurie and Michael Brothers situation. Like, the rest of it, that's perfectly fine idea. Get her in a hospital. That's spooky. It's a chance for loads of little, like, scary moments.
Isolated
in there.
Horror, mate.
Yeah.
His kind of worst work is better than some directors, like, probably like their most high-profile work in terms of the Halloween franchise. But, yeah, mate, it's a fun franchise because it's got ups and downs. But, yeah, the downs really are bad.
What I'll say is, mate, I'll stick all them first six on any time, like I said a minute ago. I will only ever watch from number 7 to 12 on this if it's with somebody else to show them how bad it is or to laugh at them. Like, and this is what we brought up a year ago, obviously, because I said I'd been listening, is that the Nightmare franchise has probably got a lot of more good entry. I haven't rewatched that, so I'm going to have to rewatch that and give it in context. Mm-hmm. Halloween will remain my favorite of all the horror franchises for the specific reason of my love for those six.
Yeah.
But like even... So Friday the 13th, I don't think half of those movies would touch these six, but the thing as a whole is fun, no matter how bad they get. Whereas the Halloween films, I think once they get bad, I don't think they're that fun. And I know we just said you can laugh at Resurrection, but that's in the context of it's better than Rob Zombie's because you can laugh at it. I don't mean that Resurrection is like a fun one to chuck on in the same way that like Friday the 13th part like 6 Jason Lives. I'm literally wearing a Jason Lives t-shirt right now.
Nice.
That's a fun film because it's just bonkers and he just kills like 38 people and it's crazy. Like and it's fun, but like I don't think these are fun bad. I think these are just bad. The only one that's fun bad is 5 because it's just stupid and like where he shoots, I explained it last week in that thing at the end of the episode, where he shoots Michael Myers with like 4 trank darts and drops a chainmail on his head and all this, but I don't know.
Then Rob Zombie's ones, he's trying not to think of it, because they're not part of the, well, to be fair, there's about 4 or 5 different continuities now, but Rob Zombie's ones go to the bottom. I mean, by right, so should number 3, because it really isn't part of the canon, but it is, I'd much rather watch
Halloween 3, like I said, it's a good film in its own right. Everybody who's not seen Halloween 3, go watch Halloween 3. It's not got Michael Myers in it. The reason it happened is because John Carpenter originally wanted to do an anthology series of different horror stories every time. Michael Myers was just one of them. But then when they made Halloween 2, obviously, that threw everything off. So then when Halloween 3 came out, everyone was like, where the fuck is Michael Myers? And rightly so. And it is very much the reason that 4 is called The Return of Michael Myers, because people wanted him back. But... that's the Halloween franchise, anyway.
Yes, that's the Halloween
anything
film.
Anything else,
we
mate?
They're okay.
This is going to be a shorter one, guys, by the way, because Matt's dying and I'm starving, so...
This man's desperate to get some meat inside of him, and I ain't talking about that kind of meat. I'm talking about food. I saw Antlers this week, but I'm going to save that for next week because you're going to watch it, and then we can talk about it together. So, looking forward to hearing... your thoughts and everyone else's.
I was
going to
talk about Metroid as well, but we've banged on too long about Dune and Halloween, which we should have expected because they're two things we love.
Two things we love. The MCU film came out this week, Eternals. This is piggybacking off what Big Boy said last week. Currently sits at 68% on Rotten Tomatoes, and MCU fans are now saying critics just don't get it. They just don't get it. But every other film has got 90%.
Just say, you don't need to hear my thoughts on this. Just listen to what I said last week about Rotten Tomatoes and critics and audiences and all this shite.
MCU fans are going to love the film no matter what because it's their jam. Just like we will hopefully love the next Star Wars film, Rogue Squadron. Even if it's poo, I'm still going to find a lot to like about it. Don't listen to what somebody says.
No, I'm not subscribing to that because that last one was poo and I thought it was poo and that was just poo.
Good point. Shit. Bugger.
Just because we love it, mate, Eternals doesn't mean we can't point it out, like, for what it is.
Oh, no, mate.
MCU fans, it doesn't mean that we're not going to go into Eternals and be like, you know what, I think people might be wrong. Actually, this is pretty decent. Like,
I go into every film hoping to enjoy it, even something I know is going to be a load of old cack. But
except
I hope to,
Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Apart from, even on rewatch, I was like, right, I want to like this. So I'm going to go in and I want to like it. But
that's why I sat and fucking rented the bastards so that I could. Paid money. Yeah,
this guy's doing the Lord's work. You know, proper kingdom man. You are.
I did this so I could be the voice on Halloween because I've seen all these movies over the years in and out, but now. To sit and watch them all in a chunk and then get the context, you know what I mean? That's different. Like,
plus with the new one and all the shit going on about how Halloween Kills is, you know, a disease on the face of Hollywood. Oh, get out of it. No. Come on. No. It just wasn't, for me, it just didn't, I was so excited. It just didn't hit the beats I wanted it to. I thought it was fine. I didn't hate it.
The thing is as well, I haven't
People
come on here.
People hate it.
I haven't come on here and said that any criticism that you have of it is like false. I've disagreed with criticisms you've had in the sense that they things that worked for me that didn't work for you or whatever.
It should be as well,
but I've also just had a bunch of criticisms that you didn't have of it that I didn't like about
it. Not necessarily. Exactly. It's for people.
And it's like that's not how it is. It's not a case of this bit's bad in it, which means I can't enjoy it, or this bit's good in it, which means I have to enjoy it. There's a bunch of stuff I like in it. There's a bunch of stuff I don't. I went to watch it twice and I fucking loved it both times, even with the good and bad in there. Like,
exactly. It's a feeling.
People
as well
in the cinema
get.
Loved it as well. People are coming out of the cinema and coming and talking to me after I've told them I've been to see it twice and I love it. And they're saying, oh God, I couldn't believe at the start with like Dr. Loomis and all this stuff.
That
was mentioned
cool.
that. Like the guy and
prosthetics dude as well. The stuntman.
Yeah.
That was great.
I could go on about this all night, mate. I think I wish this could be a big 2.5 hour chonky boy episode, but it can't be.
There's a lot to get into. It's not the worst film ever. Like, same as The Last Jedi wasn't. So just go and watch any films.
Exactly, Look at the hyperbole surrounding Last Jedi. People are literally saying both things. It's the best Star Wars film of all time and it's the worst one of all time.
It's the worst film of all time.
It shouldn't be any different when you go and see Halloween Kills. I'm telling you now, as a guy who's just sat and watched them all, and it's not like I've got some bias towards the series or this series at all. I've just told you that half of them are shit. And they are. If I was biased towards Halloween, I would literally just tell you that Kills is right there with the shit ones.
Rob Zombie's Halloween is just up there with the Carpenter films. Great films. We can't lie.
It wouldn't bother me. It wouldn't lose me an ounce of sleep to say that Kills was shit, and I wouldn't have gone and seen it. You know me, mate. I wouldn't have gone and seen it fucking twice if I didn't like it. Not at all.
Well, no, exactly.
And I'd go again. I sat there the other day, and I still haven't seen No Time to Die. And I sat there after work, and I was like, I could watch No Time to Die. But basically, just because that film's that long, I couldn't really sort it out. And then I was like, genuinely might go and watch Kills for the third time in a week. And that... What else can I say about it than that? Like, I wanted
you
to
can
watch
almost
it the
watch
third
two
time
kills
in a week.
For the price of one Bond as well. Yeah. In terms of the duration, but no, that's it, mate. Now, look,
my boy Michael back on the big screen, and my boy Carpenter with the music blaring out of some
blaring
big speakers.
Out.
I can't.
Hey, look, Resi comes out in a couple of months' time. I might love it. You might hate it. This is what I mean. We're talking about it. There's no, but like, I might think Ghostbusters is a load of old tosh when it comes out. Despite
the closer
really
you get
to like
it, it doesn't always mean, doesn't it? Like you said,
exactly.
You might watch Ghostbusters. You're the big Ghostbusters guy. I love Ghostbusters to bits, but Matt's the biggest Ghostbusters fan I know. The fact that he's so close to it might mean that he finds more wrong with it. Yeah, but it also might mean that you forgive more from it. You don't know. Film's about feeling.
It's the feeling, mate. That's it. I didn't get the feeling I wanted from Kills, but I also got a lot that I did want, which is why for me it's straight down the middle, because I saw Michael Myers being an absolute honk, and I was loving it. I was having a blast with that, but...
He just fucking stalks the people in that car for a while, that was amazing as well. I forgot to bring that up. It's just
he stalks,
like a T-Rex, like in a fucking thing, and he's just getting everybody one by one. And the kill where that woman walks up with the Desert Eagle and goes to shoot him, and he boots the car door into the gun and she blows her
own face off. It's like, okay, that was funny, actually. There was a moment where he's stalking. I can't remember what the lady's called. Now she came, the woman from the first film, the one who survives. There's like that kind of stalking. So there wasn't a lot of atmosphere.
You're about the Real Housewives woman, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. I didn't get as much atmosphere out of this film, but that had atmosphere.
Because like, you said prior, didn't you? You said like it didn't have atmosphere, and like I said, I did find that.
I didn't get it throughout.
You know, sort of the chase between Michael and the people and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm tense the whole time it's happening. And I wouldn't make this up. The whole time I'm like, oh, they're fucking chasing the wrong place and he's here and he's killing these. And I was like, oh, God, like, I genuinely had such a good time in the cinema both times. And
that's what you want,
there
mate.
Was a poor old couple sat behind me as well the second time I went to watch it. And the whole time I'm just, Michael's like, pulling his eyes out. And the camera never pulls away once from the kills. Not once, and you can say lots that's good, bad, whatever.
Brain juice all over the floor.
Yeah, and I just, the whole time I'm thinking, these can't be enjoying this.
It's old timey. They've obviously got the wrong idea about what this was. But
right, I've just got a text, which means we've got to wrap up because I think food's here. But
dinner time. Well, happy Halloween, yes, everyone. Actual happy Halloween. Are you dressing up for Halloween, mate?
I was going to be Myers, to be fair. I was going to just walk around Cineworld, so I might still do that, even though I'm off.
Let's do it. Do it anyway, mate. Let's do it. I'm going as a Ghostbuster. I'm taking my nip a trick or treating, so don't let me down either, Jason Reitman. Everyone, enjoy Halloween. Stay safe. Check your candy and, you know, don't talk to strangers or touch strangers. Let us know what your rankings of the Halloween films are.
If you see anybody dressed as Michael Myers, just like in Halloween 2, there's a random dude dressed as Michael Myers. Yes. They hit him with a car which sets on fire and sets the guy on fire and it explodes. Do that.
Yeah, and then also lop their head off just to make sure as well.
Yeah.
Make sure you do it. And if you do see it, Michael Myers, just shout, "Evil dies tonight," just to make sure it's really him.
Make sure you do that.
Go and enjoy your food.
I'll give everybody that. That was lame.
Really. Evil dies tonight. Enjoy your food, mate. Everyone, let us know what you thought about Dune and Halloween. We'll be back. We'll talk some more horror films.
I'm gonna quick fight this. You can find Matt everywhere at What I've Watched Tonight. You can find me everywhere at Ant Shot First. And you can find this podcast at MP Madness Pod everywhere else, or just Google MPM. Matt?
What am I matting? What am I doing? Sorry, I put some music on and now I can't concentrate.
Do what you want. That's me. I've done it.
Do what Ant just said. Find us, talk to us, be nice to us, go and ogle Ant because he's handsome, and give me some compliments because it's always good to hear, isn't it?
But Matt's also handsome.
Thank you, mate. Ant's going to go and eat his weight in food. I'm going to go and swallow my weight in pills, legal, and we'll be back next week after Halloween. So, mate, enjoy Halloween. Everyone enjoy Halloween. From me, I'm going to say, see ya. And from Ant,
trick or treat, motherfucker.
Kingdom.